الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عن أن رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قال بادروا بالعمال فتنا كقطع الليل المظلم يصبح الرجل مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا ويمسي مؤمنا ويصبح كافرا يبيع دينه بعرض من الدنيا صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي درشي بالله Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. Many prophecies signaling to the last hour, the day of Qiyamah, is mentioned in the Quran and also in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The day of Qiyamah, the word Qiyamah is also mentioned in the Quran. A surah is named after the word Qiyamah, Surah Al-Qiyamah. لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. Another name of يوم القيامة is يوم الدين, mentioned in the very first chapter, Surah Al-Fatiha. مالك يوم الدين, the day of reckoning. Many signs. The ulama, the muhaddithin, have divided the signs of Qiyamah into two categories. One is Alamatul Kubra and the other one is Alamatul Sugra. Alamatul Sugra is minor sins. Alamatul Kubra is major. Alamatul Sugra is minor signs and Alamatul Kubra is major signs of Qiyamah. Minor signs of Qiyamah have all been exposed, every single one of them. As for the major sign, even the door of Alamatul Kubra, the major sign, has been opened up. In the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the minute the very first sign, the major sign of Qiyamah, will be exposed, then all the other signs will follow each other very, very quickly without any pause, without any delay, straight away. A beautiful example is given in the hadith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, anybody got a tasbih with them here? Tasbih? There you are. You've got a tasbih. What you're playing with it? In the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us a beautiful example through the tasbih. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that it's like when if the tasbih was to be broken, then it will only take time for the first bead to fall out from that tasbih. The minute the first bead falls out, the rest of the beads continuously follow the first bead and until the entire tasbih is empty. And this is what Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. The minute the very first sign, the introduction of Alamatul Kubra is visible, everything will follow very, very quickly, without any pause, no delay, straight away, instantly, all the signs will be visible. And the first sign of Alamatul Kubra is the coming of Imam Mahdi, radiyallahu ta'ala. But before we go on to the subject of Imam Mahdi, radiyallahu ta'ala, it's very, very important that we understand some of the basic Alamat, the signs of Qiyamah. We are living in a very delicate time. In fact, the most unpredictable time, that is the time that we are living in. Nothing should surprise a Muslim today. If he is going to meet someone who is not a Muslim, or he could be a Muslim, whatever, nothing should surprise him. Anything and anything can happen anytime. We are living in the unpredictable time. And that time is mentioned in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything is found in the Quran and hadith. Everything is there, subhanallah ilazim. Everything is in the hadith, everything is in the Quran. We don't have to go anywhere. Fine, we have the internet, we have other sources of information, books. But subhanallah, nothing can be compared with the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith read to you in the khutbah is narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an Anna Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, Badiru bil amali fitanan taqita'i al-layli al-muslim. Commit yourselves quickly to good actions before fitna, before him, darkness of the night, like the darkness of the night. The fitna will hit you strongly. So commit yourselves to good actions, amal saliha. And then Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us the precise pinpoint condition of the hearts of people at that time. He says that يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. In that time, a believer will wake up in the morning with iman. But when the muazzin will give out the azan, the call for prayers, Maghrib Salah, he will become a kafir. وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. And vice versa. وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا. In the evening he will be a mu'min, a believer. But by dawn, وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. In the morning he will become a kafir. Allahu Akbar. And the concluding words of the hadith again, يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. The condition of the believer at that time will be, he will be so low, the lowest of the low, that he will want to sell out his religion, his deen, the sharia, in order to acquire flimsy portion of dunya. Some flimsy portion of dunya. Ek dunya ka koi hakir sa hissa lene ke liye apne deen ko wo bech dalega. In order to acquire a flimsy portion of dunya, he will be prepared to sell out his religion. Subhanallah. And isn't that visible today, my respected brothers? Wallahi lazeem, that is visible. You can bargain with the mu'min, with the Muslim, anyhow you like. You have the power to seal his lips. You have the power to control him. From the top, everything is controlled. Someone related to me an eye-opening story, a true story. He said to me, during the British occupation of India, in the last stages, this junior officer had an argument with a layman Muslim. In an argument, that junior officer, Englishman, slapped the Muslim, a normal person, not even a qualified person, a layman. Ek thappar mari, slapped him. The Muslim got very angry. He retaliated. He stood up and slapped him back. And Musabai, do you think that's right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Musabai is saying yes. He slapped him back. Now, the junior officer got annoyed. They were not used to this sort of treatment, obviously. The rest of the people are considered to be the subordinates, the inferior type of people, the second class people. All of a sudden here we see a layman slapping the junior officer. This junior officer goes to the superior officer in the army and he says to the superior one that the Muslims are posing a threat for us. Today this man has slapped me, tomorrow another person could come and slap you. So if we don't take control now, things might just go out of hand. So if you give me the permission, I will go with the rest of the soldiers and sort him out. The superior officer was an intelligent person, intelligent in a way. And he said to that junior officer, no, you are not going to do anything of the sort. He said, wait, do exactly what I tell you to do. He went on the one side of the office, the safe was there, opened the safe, and he took out 50,000 rupees. How many? 50,000 rupees. Obviously at that time, you remember on Wednesday, Musa Bhai said that he paid his mahar 20 pounds. So, and all the women at home got annoyed, you know, but then I had to quickly save Musa Bhai and tell him that, no, you're talking about 1952, so it was a long time. So here we are going all the way back. So 50,000 rupees was, because there was much more than 20 pounds. And that mahar is not accepted, not in Masjid Omar anyway. So we have to be very careful. Alhamdulillah, we have a beautiful mosque. Here we are talking about a big amount. Big amount. Give it to them. Inshallah ta'ala. So he gave him 50,000 rupees and he said, do me a favor, go to that person who you slapped and apologize to him. And say to him, I'm very sorry, it was an argument. And due to the heat of the conversation, I got angry and I slapped you and you slapped me back. We are even. I want to repay you by this money given to me by the superior officer, 50,000 rupees. And the officer said that go and buy a house, a flat somewhere, and one rickshaw. One rickshaw. The Muslim was very happy, overjoyed. Aisi kismat thappar ke baad 50,000 rupees mile. Very, very happy. What a nice man he was, that officer. See how decent they are. 50,000 cash was taken. All happy, went to Ace Properties and said that, okay, we want that property. You know. And in India at that time, bought a house, 30,000 and then 20,000 for a rickshaw. After 1 year exactly, the superior officer called that junior officer. He says, come to my office. Do you remember 12 months ago that Muslim man slapped you? He says, yes. Go and call him at once. I am calling him. You follow the story, right? After 12 months, 1 year passed by. That Muslim, now he has a house, he has a rickshaw, he comes back. The pinpoint description by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm not quoting anything from my own understanding. It's from the hadith of Huzur alayhi salam. يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. He can be bought. The Muslim, you can buy him today. This is the time that we are living in today. Any Muslim can be bought. That Muslim comes, and now both the officers are there. The superior officer is telling the junior officer, I want you to slap this Muslim man now. The junior officer is saying, how can I slap him for what? There is no valid reason for me to slap him. The superior officer is telling him, do as you are told. I am telling you to slap him. The Muslim is standing there, and that junior officer gives him one slap. One slap and he is down on the floor. 12 months ago, the scenario was different. When he had no money, when he was a poor person, he stood up and retaliated. He fought for his rights. But the minute 50,000 rupees were given to him, his hands were tied, his mouth was sealed, he became subservient. He just looked at the officer, gave him a dirty look in the language of today, and that's about it. No retaliation. And the superior officer said, this is how you win the hearts of these people. This is how you rule. This is how you rule these people. You don't fight back. There is an art of controlling the Muslims, and this is how you do it. And this is where we are losing, my respected brothers. يبيع دينه بعرض من الدنيا. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the Muslim will be of a cheap quality. His iman will be very cheap. Very, very cheap. He can be bought. Anybody can buy him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the types of people mentioned in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that story is a true story and an eye-opener. And an eye-opener. Allahu Akbar. At any cost, we cannot bargain and we cannot compromise with the faraiz, the wajibat, the fundamentals of Islam. Yes, good character with all Muslims and non-Muslims is very, very important. That is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allahu Akbar, nobody can force you to eat khinzir or to take in alcohol or to make zina. That is your own will, that is your own right. You have the full authority and control. Subhanallah. And the signs of Qiyamah, يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. He will be a believer in the morning and a kafir in the evening. Three points, important points, are mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first point that we learn from the hadith is that near the time of Qiyamah, the real identity of an individual, to establish his real identity, will be very, very difficult. So although he may come to the masjid, and although we may take him to be a Muslim, and as a Muslim to another Muslim, you might say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to him. But in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a possibility that he is not a Muslim. He is not a Muslim. This is what is meant by the hadith, that in the morning you can be a believer, but by the evening your actions will be such that you will be discarded from the list of the mu'mineen, from the believers. Allahu Akbar. Like Turkey. Muslim country. Once upon a time the great Ottoman Empire. Allahu Akbar. What a great empire that was. Read history and you'll find out. But today, in the Leicester University, I performed Jummah there. I met this brother from Turkey. He goes to me, I was watching television, TV, and I saw an Israeli officer pulling the hijab, the scarf, from the Palestinian lady's head, pulling it out. And when I saw that, which is that I have seen even in Turkey, the only difference is that in Palestine, it's an Israeli officer pulling out the scarf from a Muslim lady. But in Turkey, I have seen Turkish police, Muslim, who call themselves Muslim, pulling the scarf out from the heads of our mothers and sisters. Can you imagine, my brothers, that in England, even in the university today, you can go not only with a scarf, but you can even cover your face. That liberty is given to you. But once the great Ottoman Empire, Kustuntunya, mentioned in the hadith, today known as Istanbul, it is illegal for a woman to cover her head in universities, colleges, or in the offices. Illegal. And there are some incredible pictures here. There was a function today. Here we see in Turkey police officers dragging a Muslim lady. Here we see Muslim ladies in prison in Turkey. And what more? Allahu Akbar. One can continue and continue. Here we have mockery. We have Muslim boys wearing scarves, mocking the hijab. This is the level of iman. So you can call it Turkey as being the majority of all the people that are there are all Muslims. They have Muslim names. But when it comes to iman, the truth is that knowledge is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who has iman, who is a mu'min, and who is not a mu'min, that is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pinpoint description. In the morning he will be a mu'min, by the evening he will be a kafir. It will be extremely difficult to establish anyone's identity. That is point number one we learn from the hadith. Point number two we learn from the hadith. The appearance given to you first hand is not what he will be from the inside. The appearance given to you, how that person appears to you, he will not be what he seems from the outside. His inside will be very, very different. And the third sabak that we learn from the hadith, the most important sabak, is that near the day of Qiyamah, this dunya will be flooded by munafiqeen. The dunya will be flooded by munafiqeen. And what will the munafiqeen want to do? To integrate in Islamic societies, cross the borders of Islam, metaphorically speaking, enter Islam, go into the heart of Islam, to create confusion. To create confusion. Integration, to integrate, to create confusion. Confusion. And how does this confusion come? Again, I'm not going to quote anything that are my own words. Everything from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How is confusion created? Mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A Bedouin came to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam with a very important question. He said, Ya Rasulullah, matas-sa'a, when will Qiyamah come, the day of Qiyamah? Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam looked at that Bedouin. A long hadith. The last words are to that Bedouin, إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ فَانْتَزِرِ السَّاعَةِ. When high-ranking positions will be given to those people who will be, in truth, the most incompetent for that post. Batsanayat. High-ranking positions will be given to those people who will be absolutely incompetent for that post, for that position given. I'm just like you coming to me and say, Maulana, there's something wrong with my car, can you check it out? How am I going to check it out? I don't know anything about cars. I'm not a mechanic, you have to go to a mechanic. Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, in order to create confusion, you will have people, Allahu Akbar, taking up those positions, they will have no knowledge of it at all. In fact, the basis of Islam is taqwa. They will have no taqwa, no taqwa at all. When there is no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then one can do whatever he wants. He is free because there is no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I met a person who was in Bosnia when the Serbs fought with the Muslims. He said to me, Maulana, what I have seen, I don't think anybody here has seen. He said, the Muslims were pulled in the masjid in one corner and they were shot at close range with a machine gun, and they were shot in such a way that after shooting them, the bullets would enter the body, forming a cross on their body. Forming a cross on their body. So they would literally shoot him from the top to the bottom, making a cross on the body. This is how the story ends in Bosnia. We haven't seen anything, my respected brothers. He said to me, Maulana Sahab, with my own eyes, I saw a Serbian soldier raping a Muslim lady on the minbar. With my own eyes I have seen that. In the masjid in Bosnia, the soldiers came in, the Muslim ladies were taking refuge in the masjid, raped a Muslim lady on the minbar where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam would sit and make khutbah. Allahu Akbar Kabira. What more are we going to see, my respected brothers? Signs of Qiyamah. Everything is happening. Everything is happening. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Positions will be given to those people who are not qualified for that post at all. And when position is given to them, confusion, instability is created. Confusion and instability is created. Zahir. They don't know at all. They don't even know the Quran. They don't know Hadith. They have no taqwa. They have no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why after the demise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who became the first Khalifa, the successor of Rasulullah? Who was it? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Why? Why was that position given to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq? And not to Hazrat Ali, who was the cousin of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, closely related to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, he grew up in the household of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son of Abu Talib, the son-in-law of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, married to the most beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he was not the Khalifa. Islam, Allahu Akbar, does not follow the pattern of blood relationship, blood ties. Islam is based on taqwa. The foundation of Islam is based on taqwa. At that time, the greatest muttaqi, unanimously, even agreed by the companions. In fact, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq's taqwa was so famous that Huzur alayhi salatu was salam was not even in the need to make a will or to write on a piece of paper that after me make sure Abu Bakr becomes the Khalifa, because he himself knew that all the companions know that there is no one greater than Abu Bakr Siddiq because of his piety and because of his taqwa. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was Khalifa Rabi, he got the fourth position. Then came Hazrat Umar Farooq, and then came Hazrat Uthman, then came Hazrat Ali. Why? Islam functions on taqwa. Islam functions on taqwa. Subhanallah. So the first stage is to be muttaqi. When you haven't got taqwa, even the salat is not there. What knowledge? The salat is not there. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not there. Then how can anyone govern anything? إذا وصل الأمر إلى غير أهله فانتظر الساعة. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, when you see those people taking up positions who are unqualified for that position, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been saying to them, فانتظر الساعة, then all you have to do is wait for the day of Qiyamah. Wait for the day of Qiyamah. Save yourselves and save your iman. Look after your children. Make Allah Allah. Make sure you fulfill the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also the haqq of the people. Huququl ibad. In the hadith here, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the cause of confusion. But what is the root cause? What is the cause of that situation? And the second thing is the root cause of this position given to that individual who is not qualified for that post. And that is mentioned in the hadith of Hazrat Sauban radiallahu ta'ala, a very famous hadith. Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam said in the hadith, يُشِكُ الْأُمَمْ أَن تُدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا تَدَاعَ الْأَكَلَةُ إِلَىٰ تَسْعَتِهَا. An invitation will be given to people to conspire or to inflict pain on my ummah, like how people are invited on the dastarkhan, on a banquet to eat. Like how we invite people, bhai aajana ha ji, aajana, aam daawat hai sabko, bhai aap bhulta nahi ji, khawa mate, aavi jajo. Like how we invite all the friends, open invitation. An open invitation will be given to all to give problems to the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The companions questioned Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam straight away. They said, Ya Rasulullah, wa min qillatin yawma'izin. Yeah, the day of Qiyamah, will we be few in numbers? Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam started to laugh. La, bal antum kaseerun, you will be many, many in numbers. Many, many. Somebody was telling me just in Egypt there are 60 million Muslims. How many? 60. One country. How many Muslims? Maulana Ali Mia Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi would say that even if every single mu'min Muslim, male and female, was to throw just one pebble, one stone, after a few months you will see a great mountain in front of you. This is how many Muslims there are in the world. One pebble each. After a few months you will see this enormous great mountain in front of you. And a typical example is when we go for Hajj, when we are pelting the shaitan. Every day in the morning the truck has to come and pick up all the sandals and all the stones and everything and clear everything out. There was a time when there was no need for that. In the hadith it comes that Allahu Akbar, when a mu'min throws pelts and hits the shaitan, if his Hajj is accepted, the stones disappear. The stones disappear. They were disappearing before, but nowadays they don't disappear. The truck has to come and clear everything out. Allahu Akbar. That is mentioned in the Ma'ariful Quran of Hazrat Maulana Mufti Shafi Sahab, the grandfather, the father of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahab. Subhanallah. This is what Hazrat Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that you will be many in numbers. But what will be the condition? Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that you will be suffering from a disease in the Arabic which is known as Al-Wahan. What is it? Al-Wahan. Islam ko yaad rakhe, Al-Wahan. In Arabi mein aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki alfaz-e-mubarakah hai, Al-Wahan. There is barakah in uttering the precise words which were uttered by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ummah will be suffering from Al-Wahan. وَلَيَنْزِعَنَّ اللَّهُ مِنْ صُدُورِ عَدُوِّكُمَ الْمُحَابَةَ مِنْكُمْ. Allah will have taken out your fear from the hearts of the kuffar. Allah will have taken out your fear from the hearts of the kuffar because of a sickness, and that sickness is al-wahan. The companion straight away said, Ya Rasulullah, وَمَا الْوَهَن? What is al-wahan? In beautiful words, Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Intense love of dunya. Intense love. So much love of dunya, namaz will be neglected, the huquq will be neglected, the recitation of the Quran will be neglected. Everything, all the huquq, gunah will be there. There will be more gunah in an individual's 24 hours than good deeds, more sins. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ, and the disliking of mouth. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. We should make dua all the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove all those leaders occupying the position that they are in today, Muslim leaders. Allah ta'ala removes them. We don't even want them. What they should do? Allah should remove them. Allah inko hata de bas. Hat jaya. Allahu Akbar. And replace them by good believers, mu'mineen, muslimin. And that is the only way the nusrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. Individually what we have to do is we must make sure that we follow and respect the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are totally obedient to sharia. And inshallah, individually if an effort is done, inshallah the effect will be on the entire jama'at, inshallah. If we can make an effort here in Masjid Umar, inshallah, the people living in the surroundings of the masjid can make an effort. And slowly, 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 inshallah, the barakah will increase, and the nusrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. Here I have an article. When I said to you in the hadith, it is mentioned that infiltration, they will want to infiltrate to create confusion. An article which is also pinned up downstairs on the notice board. Ab dekhe ha, British missionaries take sleeper jobs to infiltrate Muslim nations. It's mentioned. what Huzur alayhi salatu was salam had said came in the Times Sunday, May 5th, 2002. Aajkal ka akhbar. Their mission is to integrate with local people, discreetly spread the gospel in their spare time, and ultimately establish a new church. The way it works is that they go out into jobs. They don't go as missionaries, put it that way, said one member, but these folks know why they are there. They know why they are there. The group has been working on its mission for the past 10 years in Britain without attracting any publicity. Without attracting any publicity. It has about 70 Britons in North Africa, Middle East, Central Asia and Indian subcontinent. Leaders of the organizations, which unlike other missionary groups, exclusively target Muslims. Exclusively target Muslims. They are predicting that the figure will grow following the creation of the Global Coalition Against Terrorism following the September 11 attacks. This organization was founded in America in 1983. They have 600 missionaries in 40 Muslim countries. 600 in 40 Muslim countries. Its mission is, our passion is to glorify God by planting, reproducing churches among unreached Muslim people. And he says, before they travel, हमारे यहाँ तो बिचारे जमात के साथी कितनी मेहनत करते हैं, जी, कितनी मेहनत करते हैं, भाई, go in the path of Allah, great effort, but these people, and everything is done in the most sophisticated way. All the family people are financially supported. So when they go, everything is at ease. The sabak given to them before traveling to a Muslim country, they undergo at least 2 weeks of specialist language and cultural training, including study of the Quran. And this is what Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Near the day of Qiyamah, to establish anyone's identity will be most difficult. Most difficult. We have people today even entering Saudi Arabia and making tawaf of Kaaba who are non-Muslims. With a disguise. Possibility is there. People have done it and they are still doing it. And that's not going to bother the present regime that is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Just one very important article, inshallah, main aapka waqt zyada nahi lunga. What we have to do is make sure that even we integrate. Make sure we are well literate with the computer, giving answers. Allahu Akbar. When you read the newspapers, if anything is against Israel, then all the Jews of England will reply back. And the newspaper will have to make an apology, send an apology to them. But we Muslims are how many? 2 million. 2 million plus, England, 2 million plus. Like Maulana Dawood Saab said today, everything is on the shoulder of the Maulvi. What is it? Maulvi karo na, tum karo. अरे भाई मौलवी तो कितना कर रहा है दारुल हुकूमस हैव बीन एस्टैब्लिश्ड द मदरसास आर रनिंग एवरीथिंग इज रनिंग बट दोज ब्रदर्स हु आर लिटरेट इन इंग्लिश हु आर क्वालिफाइड प्रोफेसर्स माशाल्लाह हु हैव बीन टू यूनिवर्सिटीज हु नो एवरीथिंग व्हाट इज हैपनिंग दे शुड बी खुद्दाम्स ऑफ इस्लाम दे शुड बी मेकिंग खिदमत ऑफ इस्लाम बट अल्लाह अकबर हु इज डूइंग दैट हु इज अ खादिम ऑफ इस्लाम हाउ मेनी पीपल Who is doing khidmat? Khidmat is not just by giving £100 charity here and there, £200. That is a shortcut. Alhamdulillah, that's good. Shortcut. But give our time, sacrifice. How? What can we do? Make a team. Allahu Akbar. Every individual knows the good quality that is inside him. And he has to work. He is an ambassador for Islam. Every Muslim is an ambassador. We have to work hard. legally with respect to the law of the country. An important information here. A popular tool in propaganda is to commit atrocities under the guise of words which have universal appeal. When you hear the news, whether it's through the television or radio or newspaper, make sure that you take into consideration the words that are used. Universal words that are appealing for all. For an example, liberty, democracy, freedom, good versus evil. We've all heard that, right? Good versus evil. अभी तो वर्ल्ड कप शुरू भी नहीं हुआ है, कप हमारा है. अभी तो वर्ल्ड कप शुरू भी नहीं हुआ है, कप किसका है? Good versus evil. These are the words we hear all the time. If a Western leader stands up and proclaims that he is fighting an evil nation in the name of justice, freedom and democracy, he will have the unqualified support of all the people, however it may be. The subjects seldom question his motives or whether he is really fighting for freedom. Whose freedom? What freedom? But all he has to do is stand up and say, I am fighting for liberty, freedom, good versus evil, and that is it. This lecture, if it is given, everyone is for him. What freedom? What? Nothing. Nobody? Nobody knows. A good example. Examples are like this natural fear we have of spiders. Spiders. The name spider. The word spider is a makhluk of Allah, but if you think of spiders, it's creepy. Spiders, or fear of snakes, or fear of AIDS. This fear becomes very real when stated by an official or an expert in the field. An example here is given that in the days of the American Wild West, the pioneers demonized the peaceful living nation of Apache, Red Indians, and called them savages. इनको क्या कहा? Savages. हेलीकॉप्टर के नाम Apache रखते हैं, लेकिन उनको क्या कहते थे? Savages. बात समझ आई नहीं? They were known as savages, even in Africa. Tarzan, the king of jungle, was he an African? Was he an African? He's supposed to be the king of jungle, le Tarzan. I said that before. What was he? An African? Kya tha wo? African tha? No, he was not an African. Brainwash. Is tarike se. And a name was given to them, savages. Savages. This name became something hostile to people, like a swear word. Whenever the name the Apache came, was then shouted, it evoked such fear and hatred that all efforts were rallied around eliminating these savages. No one bothered to inquire or understand that these poor Red Indians, the Apache, were simply defending their holy burial grounds from the greed for gold by the pioneers. From the greed of gold. But nobody bothered to look into that. Similarly, the word terrorism, and we have to explain that to the whole world. It is our Islamic duty, Allahu Akbar. It is a blasphemy to label Islam with terrorism. Terrorism is zulm. Terrorism is not jaiz in Islam. Allahu Akbar, Abu Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to promote peace, and Muslims are Muslims. That is the perfect name given to them. Those who have surrendered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who do not terrorize, those who are the protectors, those who save lives, subhanallah. Similarly, the word terrorism has developed such a negative connotation that whenever the word terrorist is used, it implies a Muslim. Fundamentalist hell bent on killing everyone with a suicide bomb. Every Muslim today is crazy, hell bent, and his only intention is what? Suicide bomb. Like that
Israeli leader. Their name was here. Sharon. Ariel Sharon. Ariel Sharon, again, what does he say? We have been fighting the Palestinians and where did the massacre take place? Jenin. In Jenin, what happened is that we were trying to eradicate fundamentalism and terrorism. We are doing exactly what the Americans were doing in Afghanistan. So we want to, Allahu Akbar, eradicate the structure, the foundation of terrorism. And he's talking in the media like that. Winning the hearts of millions. It's true, terrorism, blowing themselves up. So they are terrorists. Antaf Farishte, magic peace lovers, peace lovers. They're not peace lovers. Islam is peace lovers. The word terrorist first evokes such fear in the ignorant masses that they will support their government and anyone else to do whatever it takes just to get rid of this danger. Few people are making effort to understand the three holiest lands of the Muslim world are under siege by the American Israeli troops. Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara, and Jerusalem. One of the signs of Qiyamah, Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam has said that Khaybar will be invaded. Khaybar will be invaded. Not very far from the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Already a base is there. This is the sign of Qiyamah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam has said that the Muslims will make Turkey into an Islamic empire. How true that is, Allahu Akbar. Today, though, it claims to be a Muslim country. Is it a Muslim country? There is no Islam in Turkey. In fact, it doesn't even claim to be a Muslim country. I'm sorry, it's a secular state. It is a secular state. It's not Islamic country for real. Wo to bhali hi. Allahu Akbar. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Qiyamah will not come until the great fight will take place with the people of Turk. Kustuntunya is Istanbul. Kustuntunya is Istanbul. And these are signs. See, the Muslims oppressed. Muslims oppressed. The scarf, nikalwe. Allahu Akbar. And we have a chart here. For a Muslim and a non-Muslim, words used in the newspapers, in the media. A person who invokes terror, if he is a Muslim, the label is Muslim terrorist. What is it? How many times? Every time you hear in the media, Islamic terrorist, Islamic fundamentalism, Muslim terrorist. It is like terrorist, without the word terrorist does not exist until the word Islam or Muslim is connected to it. And if it is a non-Muslim, then simply if it's a non-Muslim like someone from the IRA terrorist, not referred to as a Christian terrorist. Have you ever heard in the newspaper Christian terrorist? Kabini. Christian terrorism. Kabini. Nothing. Allah said there is a fighting between the Protestants and the Catholics, but never a Christian terrorist. It's always Islamic terrorist. That is the magic of media. Pious religious person, if you want to become a pious person, they would say, is a radical Muslim or Islamic fundamentalist. But if he's not a, if he's a non-Muslim, the title given to him is a devout Christian. Death, devout Christian. Death of innocent people. If death of innocent people takes place, if there are Muslims who have died, they say collateral damage. Is that what I said? Collateral damage. But if it is non-Muslims who have died, in the media you will see mass murder, killing, assassination. Yeah? Murder, killing, assassination. This is how they twist the thinking of people. Women who submit themselves to Allah, if it is Muslim women, oppressed women in Qarda. Oppressed women in Qarda. If it's non-Muslim, this is nuns, God-fearing. What are they? God-fearing nuns. Allahu Akbar. fighting for freedom from oppression and cruel injustice. If he's Muslim, clearly he is a terrorist. If he is a non-Muslim, then they are known as freedom fighters. What are they? Freedom fighters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq. And we make effort, Allahu Akbar, towards cleaning up all the discrepancies that we see around us. Every Muslim can contribute and can be a mujahid in that sense. Working hard, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. These are the signs of Qiyamah. Allah Rabbul Alameen, meri aur aapki hifazat kare mere aziz. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. It's so funny in the radio when the fighting took place with the Israelis and the Palestinians in Jenin. The journalist was saying that there is this fierce fighting battle with the Israelis and the Palestinians. What fierce fighting? Stones? Is that fierce fighting? How can you even use the word fierce fighting? Fierce fighting. There is no comparison. They have stones, and these people have the most elite weapons. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Dua kare, aur khub apni taraf se jawab de, inshaAllah ta'ala. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna min al-zalimeen. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wa al-afiyata fi dunya wa al-akhirah. Allahumma ahfazil haramayn al-sharifayn wa al-masjid al-aqsa al-ladhi barakna hawla. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi wa dhurriyatihi wa ahli bayti ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.